Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Dave, and I'm on the pastoral team here at Living Waters and on the teaching team, and happy to share with you this morning. Mike has mentioned some of the things we're looking forward to in the fall, and I would encourage you as perhaps a regular participant in the life of our community. Would you spend extra moments in prayer for our community as we unite together, as many exciting plans come together? But we're believing for God to do great things. We're believing for a good work on His behalf through our lives. And prayer, I think, is the best thing we could ever do in preparation and planning. Correct? Right? So let's be people who call upon the name of the Lord as we've been singing about today. We do it through song. We call upon the name of the Lord, and we do it personally in personal times, and we gather with friends. So I want to just encourage you with that. You will be hearing some announcements about pancake breakfasts, and we are going to be calling all of our volunteers together at the end of September. We want to come together and discuss and talk about where we feel we're at as a community and things that God is placing upon our hearts for the future. And so you're going to hear this coming week some more announcements and how to register for that. So we're really excited to be coming together to talk and share and discuss and plan and how good a time that will be. I want to share some community announcements as well. I don't know if you noticed, but Luke Knight has returned from his sabbatical, and he's sitting over here. Isn't that good? That is so good. Here you go.
You're back.
But so glad for the generosity of this community to allow our pastoral team to have ministerial sabbaticals, and I know that I'm sure as Luke begins to and Sarah begin to tell their stories, I think we're going to say how awesome it's been for them and for us. Doug Smith as well is certainly no stranger to us. He's agreed to come and speak on Thanksgiving Sunday, so he just confirmed that this week. So really excited about his ongoing relationships and concerns he has for our community, and we look forward to that. I have one other announcement to share, and that relates to Ben McAllister, Pastor Ben McAllister. He has served Living Waters so well, and my announcement relates to his transition. Pastor Ben and Annie have come to us recently and have told us of their recent acceptance of a position in Beddington Pentecostal Church in Calgary. So we're happy for him to be pursuing a full-time position. Ministry of young adults and assisting in worship, which he's be very capable of doing. But Ben and Annie have been a part of Living Waters Church for years and years, even before they joined our team and were married and joined our team. And so this has been a home church for them for years. And so they are, while we share announcements that affirm the calling upon their life, there's a sadness in our hearts to know that God is leading them in that direction. So you'll be hearing more. Ben serves primarily out of our Willoughby location, and so you'll be hearing about how we will honor this great young couple in the days ahead. But I just have this growing sense in my heart that there's good days ahead. Do you? I just sense so strongly that God is drawn near, and He's with us, and He's leading us individually and as groups, and there's such good days ahead. Well, this morning, as Mike has said, we finish our full series. We've been considering the seven I am statements that Jesus has made of Himself. This morning we hear Jesus say, "I am the vine and you are the branch." So let's read where we see this in John chapter 15. Jesus' words, "I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't bear or doesn't produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So we see in John 15, Jesus once again using an allegory to teach us. And as he uses this allegory, he makes some statements to clarify. And then he begins to place some expectations upon his disciples. Jesus, and as we've been hearing all through the seven I am statements, Jesus is saying, this is who I am, and this is who you are. And as you consider the way Jesus often introduced himself to one who may be a stranger or to an ongoing relationship with those who were following him, Jesus often said, this is who I am, this is who you are. And I think there's obvious reasons why. Because if I don't get him right, I won't get me right. If I don't get him right, I won't get my neighbor right. So what I have appreciated about this series is being reminded that we need to let Jesus speak first about who he is. Seek first. I think we understand ourselves quite differently if we allow scripture, or we allow even these seven I am statements, to enlarge our picture of God in front of us. I think that takes us to a better place of understanding ourselves. So in this final I am statement, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branch. And then he, as I mentioned, begins to speak about outcomes. So let's consider vine, branch, outcomes. Jesus says, I am the true vine. A vine is the source. So here's, you know, gardening 101. And that's about all I know is 101. But a vine is the source of life for its branches. It's the source of life. It provides the water, the nutrients by which the fruit and grapes are produced. So without the vine, the branch will yield no fruit. This last little while, Julie's been leading our family on a food journey. And one of the, you know, moments that changed a bit of direction for me was an understanding, and this is, again, Foods 101, is that food is fuel for the body. It's fuel. Food is fuel. It is not perhaps to be thought of that which provides comfort, but rather food is fuel. And if you need comfort, find it perhaps in another place. It's interesting when you begin reading labels and look past the attractive packaging on all the things that we consume on a regular basis. It's often until you get onto the nutritional scale or label that you actually begin to understand how much fuel is in food. So making a simple comparison, Jesus is reminding us that you and I do not provide the fuel for Christian living. And that he is the only source of life for Christian living. We're not. He's the vine. We're the branch. Jesus is this vine, providing strength, offering the necessary ingredients for what we've been learning over the summer is Zoe life. And Jesus actually states, very interesting statement, apart from me, you can actually do nothing. It's worth our study. He's obviously referring to Christian works. See, being grafted into a vine offers an individual new life that includes many, many things. And this is a life that we can't get anywhere else. And we need to become convinced of that. And I think we do through trial and error. But Jesus offers us a new life that includes many things, and it's a life that we can't get anywhere else. So think of these various places in Scripture where this can be understood. Romans chapter 12 speaks of transformation. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ezekiel says, refers to giving a person a new heart, a new spirit. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, wow, this is attractive, your stony, stubborn heart, and give you a tender, responsive heart. Romans 15 talks about the filling of a person. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 13 speaks of the equipping of a person. May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. And may he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. These verses speak of something that happens to someone. Transformation, changing, filling, and equipping. It's something that happens to us and for us, for obvious good reasons. And so Jesus is saying, I am this vine. I am the initial source and the sustaining source of Christian life. This Zoe life that we have been discussing this summer has only one source, and it's Jesus. Zoe life. Friends, the Christian experience and discipleship journey is first and foremost something that takes place within a person's life that is absolutely supernatural and transformative. And it happens because of a person's willingness to provide a surrendered prayer and a willing heart. We would do well to begin to use words that relate to our discipleship journey as supernatural and transformative and empowering and equipping. And it's not just for the sake of using big words, but it's actually to use the best words that just describe the good things that happens in people's lives as they walk out a good life with Jesus. So my question for you today is, how often do you pray for yourself? How often do you pray for yourself? How often, or when would be the last time that you would take the humble position? Say, God, fill me. God, transform me. God, renew me. Heal me. Help me. Deliver me. Empower me. Change me. Equip me. Save me. Have mercy on me. Perhaps those would be great prayers for us in the middle of August of 2018. Pray for yourself. It's not a bad thing. Pray for yourself. May your Christian journey be a complete expression of continual personal answers to your prayers for you. These are good prayers. Our theme verse in John 10:10 says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. this is a prophetic promise that does not come to pass because you and I, we get our act together or we pick up our game or work harder or find ourselves a little more self-disciplined, a little more organized. No. This is realized through prayers of a surrendered, submissive heart that is supernaturally imparted with Zoe life, and it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the source, the one and only source. So Jesus again says, I'm the vine, and you're not. You're not. That's good news, because it takes a lot of pressure off this Christian thing, which, right? This Christian journey begins when a person is grafted into this vine, and from there, life continues because a person is becoming fully alive in Christ. Friends, Christianity is not about working harder. It's about surrendering more and more. It's not about falling in love with ourselves. It's about falling in love with Jesus, so we love his work within our lives. It's not more of me, it's actually more of him. And Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branch. Julie and I have family friends. Yeah, we just have the one. Boy, that sounded pathetic, eh? Or maybe sympathetic. We just have a friend, yeah. We're looking for friends, you know. Call us. We're easily accessible. Yeah. But these are long-term friends. And the female in the couple won a contest on the radio to receive a makeover. And she was given transportation, overnight accommodations into Toronto downtown. And then, wow, the next day she was, all hands on. And she was had a makeover. And so, you know, the hair and the, I don't know what else happened. But anyways, she looked pretty good, you know. She looked good. She had a makeover and was, yeah, a lot of pictures. But as you can imagine, for anyone's makeover of that nature, within a few days, right? You know, I'm being very careful right now. But no one's making it easy for me at all right now. Luke, it's time for you to take the microphone right now. Luke never gets himself in trouble like this. That's why we need him back, right? But as for a makeover, right? So here we are. And it was kind of interesting to watch, you know, as the hair grew back and the color supernaturally changed, you know, and the makeup stuff. And anyways, it was a makeover. It was a do-over. But what this passage is talking, come back to Jesus here, come on. What this passage was talking about was not a simple exterior makeover, right? All seriousness. To make us look awesome for a bit. When we're grafted into the vine, the work that Jesus does is not about making us better. It's about transforming us so that we actually don't look like what we used to look like. And it's a work that begins on earth, and it carries through all eternity, this Zoe life that we've been talking about. This Zoe life that runs through the vine to the branches. Again, repeating myself, but we need to. It's a supernatural life that we partake of, so we allow the hope of eternity to rise in our hearts. And as that happens, it involves transformation, not to make a better me, but to create a transformed me. You don't want me. You want a transformed me, right? And I think we need to continue to create some expectation of each other. As nice as we are, right? Like, we're nice. But this is not about being nice. So we continue in our passage. Jesus says, I'm the vine. And he starts by saying who he is so that we can discover who we are. And he says, you're the branches. And again, if we don't get the vine right, we're not going to get the branch thing right. So because of a mind that is transformed, there's greater clarity. There's divine revelation, wisdom, knowledge. What we're thinking about 1 week is maturing to the point of next week where we're thinking about more mature things and we're growing knowledge. When a heart is transformed because of being grafted in the vine, there's a growing love for the Lord, his word and his work, and there's healthy emotions within a person's life. Because a life is being filled with the Spirit, there is spiritual, theological, and missional vitality. Because a life is being equipped by the Spirit, the Bible speaks of fruit and gifts. There is a yield of the fruit of the Spirit. There is a yield of the gifts of the Spirit. Friends, I encourage you to study fruit of the Spirit in depth because that's the fruit that Jesus is looking for. And the gifts of the Spirit, that's the gifts and expressions that Jesus is looking for as the vine imparting life into the branches. Then he goes on to say, John 15:2, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. There's two types of branches in this allegory. The first branch is of people that don't produce fruit. It says he actually cuts them off. So need to pause and ask ourselves a question. Is Jesus here speaking of a work-based, performance-based Christianity in the sense that if you don't perform, I'm cutting you from the team? The answer is no. That line of thinking overstates a person's ability to produce spiritual fruit. This passage is teaching us how you and I must remain in him so that he can produce fruit through our lives. This is why we need to understand and appreciate the one thing that is happening in and through our lives through Jesus. The branches that are being cut off are the ones that are choosing not to live the surrendered life and will be choosing to exercise their free will to not remain in him. So that will be a choice, not his choice. It would be a person's choice to be cut off. Now, if you continue the study onto the rest of the verses, what it means to be cut off, follow the rest of the chapter, it's quite severe, and it creates a huge warning for people who would choose and make those choices. But again, knowing the vine, Jesus said over and over again, I wish that none would perish, but that all would have eternal life, and how important it would be as a fruit of our life that we would truly be people of invitation to share to everyone God's desire to graft them into a similar vine that we're being grafted into. See, friends, let us truly know that Jesus, through the work of his Holy Spirit, is a fruit-bearing vine. He's a fruit-bearing vine. And this results in the yielding of godly fruit in a person's life in the same way that the nutrients of a vine within its branches produces the fruit of that vine. The second branch referred to here is the branches are people that do bear fruit. He prunes so that they will produce even more. I remember in high school, I was a Christian teenager, and if John chapter 15 and the pruning principle would be applied to my Christian walk, it would not be hard to identify what needed to be pruned. everybody could have identified that. Now, many years later, pruning is just as necessary. But pruning obviously deals with different things than when I was 16 years old in high school. But the pruning is just as necessary. See, this pruning of this type of branch, it's often not about pruning things that are necessarily bad in themselves. It's about pruning for better things to come. We do know that of pruning in a vineyard, every vine is different and is handled differently. So that's why this teaching is very personal. And my appeal to you is to personally consider this message to you personally. Jesus prunes in different ways and he handles each of us differently. And I like that about Jesus. But fundamentally, pruning is removing certain things so that energy, attention, and priorities can be given to other things, basically for greater results. And I would say that with careful consideration, I think all of us will find that our energy and our loyalties, time and attention can sometimes be given to activities that yield a type of harvest, but perhaps it's far less than all God intends for our lives. We'd all agree to that. Let's just say it, right? Let's agree. Let's say it. I appreciate one of the Living Waters church values called spiritual formation. And there are many ways that this takes place in a person's life, but one for sure is how Jesus the vine would ask of his branches to always be putting everything on the table for his pruning, for his guidance, and to best understand what we need to go forward. Spiritual formation. And I've observed from 16 to now that God often convicts us, or me, about things that may be good in themselves, but because he has greater things in his mind, he asks us to put good things down so that greater things can grow. I'm going to invite Nick back to the guitar. So we are concluding our full series. I've been thinking all week about last Sunday, Story Sunday and river baptisms. I've been thinking all week about that great Sunday last week. And I was thinking this week, why are Story Sundays and baptisms one of my favorite Sundays of all time? Why is that? Like, there's a lot of good Sundays. Why that Sunday? Why is it one of the highlighted Sundays? And what I've concluded this week is that the reason I like it and I think it brings such good life to a community is because people that are being water baptized and are sharing their story, they're speaking about first love. They're speaking about first love. First love. First coming to Christ. First recognizing that Jesus can actually help him, her. Discovering for the very first time that actually the gospel makes good common sense. Hearing for the first time that there is eternity to be invited towards. Wow. Speaking about first love. I was all last Sunday. I mean, I was thinking about my baptism. I was 12. And I was being reminded of, I actually can kind of remember some of the things that I said as I was declaring my first love at 12 years old. Actually, this kind of continued at our council meeting on Monday night. We all went around the table. Describe your baptism. Tell us about first love. Beautiful. And then at our team meeting on Tuesday, around the table, tell us about your baptism. Tell us about your first love. I think Jesus in Revelation, as kind of, you know, forward-thinking Jesus looking back, says, hey, people, don't lose, right? Revelation 3, don't lose your first love. Don't lose your first love. Don't lose your first love for yourself or for your neighbor. First love. Falling in love again with the vine because I'm a branch. Falling in love with Jesus, the resurrection and the life. falling in love again with Jesus, the gate of the sheep, receiving his guardianship. Falling in love with Jesus, the light of the world. Receive his illumination today in your life. Falling in love with Jesus, the bread of life. Friends, receive the ingredients for a Zoe life. Jesus, the good shepherd, receive his care and his concern. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, receive direction and let his word establish you. And then this morning, Jesus, the true vine, receive his life and know the benefits from pruning. I want to invite you to stand today as we move to the end of our service. Don't lose your love for the I am. Do not lose your first love for the I am. Because if we get him right, I'll get me right. So we will seek him first. We will seek him first, not second. We will seek the I am first. As we've made mention of a number of things that are kicking around in our minds for the fall, could it be that the greatest thing we could do in preparation, the young families getting their act together for school and getting our life all organized, perhaps the greatest thing we could do is return to our first love and seek him first. We will seek him first. In just a moment, Reuben is going to come and conclude our service. But before he does, Nick's going to lead us in a song. And I trust perhaps you could use this song as a prayer of confession, a prayer of renewed commitment, and know the benefits that come. Thanks, Nick.